Good morning, Southgate. Let's give another hand to the worship team. They did an awesome job this morning, didn't they? I tell you what, man, we can't give enough credit to those folks. You know, they show up normally around 7:30 in the morning and have their rehearsal before our live groups and everything else. And so we have such a wonderful group that is just so committed to what they do on this stage because they're doing it for the Lord. Amen. And so I'm thankful for each of them. So if you get a chance and you see some of them today after church is over, I encourage you to tell them, good job, give them some encouragement, because it's not easy. It's not easy being up in front of people like this. And so my name is Derek. I'm the minister of worship here at Southgate Baptist Church, and I'm so glad to be up here this morning and to have this opportunity. And I just want to say I'm thankful for a pastor that trusts and believes in me to give me the opportunity to be able to preach. And so, Jason, I appreciate you, brother. And so with that, man, we've had an awesome series that we've been in so far as we've been talking about the Kingdom Manifesto, about kingdom makers and what that looks like. And as we have went through and begun the process of going through the Beatitudes. And so I just want to do a quick recap really fast of the different things that we've talked about just these last 6 weeks, okay? So the blessed are they, or those that are poor in spirit, was week one. Week two is those that mourn. We talked about mourning our sin. For the meek, blessed are the meek, was week three. Week four was hunger and thirst, as we dug into that. Week five talked about blessed are those that are merciful. And then, of course, last week, Pastor Jason dug into blessed are the pure in heart. And so today, if you'd like, look it up on your Bible or in your device. If you'll go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, as we're going to be reading about blessed are the peacemakers. So I encourage you to look that up and hang on to it, as we're going to get to it here in a moment. So here's a question for you this morning. What do you think of when you hear the word peace? What do you think of? Do you visualize a symbol? Do you think about a certain era in time, or even a person? You see, there are a lot of scenarios of what may come to your mind, but do we really know what peace means? Let's be real. We hear the word peace being thrown around at times on social media, but in my experience these days, many don't seem interested at all in it. There seems to be anything but, right? As we see all kinds of protests, marches, social media campaigns, you name it, people are mad. They're mad, right? They're angry. And I can't help but ask, where are the peacemakers? Where are the peacemakers? Now, when I mentioned earlier about an era that embodied peace, okay, I was born in 1980. Let me preface with that. And so a lot of what I know is from history books and stuff that I've seen online, but it makes me think about how things were in the 60s. This was a word that was constantly thrown around, right? We heard that word a lot in the 60s, and it was being shouted or on signs at rallies across the nation, whether it was about civil rights or Vietnam, right? This was the sign we saw a lot, right? This was the symbol of peace. It was the common theme. And back in 1961, the Peace Corps began as a real organization, something established by JFK, and was inspired by one of his speeches in 1960. And so in that time, that organization has worked for peace on a secular level. And have we made great strides in some areas? I believe we have. Absolutely. But we still have a long way to go, amen? We have a long way to go, and in this broken world, it is up to us to be a reflection of Jesus and not a political party, group, or organization. We need Christians, hear me now, we need Christians who spend more time speaking in love than typing angrily at someone we disagree with online. Can I get an amen there? We need more of that. A little backstory, because you know, a lot of times when we get angry or we get mad or we see something on there that, man, we just want to respond to this post that we just don't agree with or we don't like. I had a pastor that once told me that our IQ drops 30 points when we're mad. And I don't know about you, but I can't afford to lose 30 points. And so for me, a lot of times I really have to sit back and think, do I really want to respond to this? And am I going to respond to this in the right way? And many times I see it, unfortunately, to where brothers and sisters in Christ, they're fired up, and they just don't come off in the way that they should, and sometimes say things that are absolutely ugly or hurtful. I give you an example. There was a guy that I knew back in the day when I worked at a music store, and of course, being at a music store, you deal with a lot of different characters, right? Us musicians, we're kind of weirdos, okay? I feel like I can say that since I am one. We're kind of weird, we're kind of different, we're passionate about what we're passionate about. And so I had ended up, it was my goal where I was like, you know what, I'm going to try to reach these weirdos for Christ, right? I'm one of them, so I want to reach more of these guys because, man, they're my friends. And so I'd spent some time with an individual who was very rough around the edges, very passionate about a lot of things. And so I had built his trust. And so one day, just kind of out of the blue, I get a call from this individual. I look at my phone and I'm thinking, wow, this guy never calls me. Like, we just talk at work. I wonder what in the world's going on. And so I pick up the phone and answer and I say, hey, man, what's going on? And he is just, he's livid. Like, he's crying and he's upset. And he goes on to tell me, he says, Derek, he said, I need you to tell me the truth. He said, I trust you. He said, I know you're one of those Christians, but he said, I trust you. And he said, I want you to be honest with me. I said, okay, man, what? Tell me, what's going on? What are you so upset about? And he said, well, so-and-so, who you know, they say they're a Christian. He said, we were talking back and forth, and we weren't agreeing about something. And then he told me in this message that I was the reason that my son was autistic. That it was my fault because I'm such an ugly person and because I'm not a Christian. I was just taken aback. Like, I can't believe somebody would say that. And I'll say that in that opportunity, I was able to have probably the deepest spiritual conversation that I ever got to have with him because of that situation. And so, friends, I want to encourage you. As I've heard many times, sometimes it's better to be righteous than right, okay? And so when we're on social media, let's be mindful of the things that we type and make sure that what we're putting is glorifying God and is pointing people to Jesus. Christ has commanded us to be peacemakers. And so here's our big idea today. Are you ready for this? The big idea is pursuing peace is the pathway to untold blessings. Pursuing peace is the pathway to untold blessings. Now, as we dig in this morning, let's first define what a peacemaker is, okay? So the Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines it like this. A peacemaker is one who makes peace, especially by reconciling parties at variance. Okay, that's pretty good. Dictionary.com defines it like this. They say, it's a person, group, or nation that tries to make peace, especially by reconciling parties who disagree, quarrel, or fight. But, you know, now is my opportunity. I wanted more of a biblical definition, and so I've got this big old encyclopedia. Have you seen some of those study things that a lot of times pastors will have? And I'm like, I'm going to dig in. I'm going to see what this thing says. And so in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, it explained it like this, quote, the word peacemaker occurs only in the plural in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. We have also what seems to be a reflection of this saying in James chapter 3, verse 18. Quote, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. In classical Greek, a peacemaker was an ambassador sent to arrange or negotiate peace. But the word in Matthew 5, 9 would perhaps be better rendered peace workers, implying not merely making peace between those who are at variance, but working peace as that which is the will of the God of peace for men. I like how it ended it there. But let's put this in layman's terms now, okay? As we go through this. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, let's go ahead and read that. Let's go ahead and bring it up on the screen. Matthew 5, 9. And it says this. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And so here's what this verse is not saying, okay? It's not talking about somebody that's a passively peaceful person, or rather someone with a peaceful disposition. Those things are nice, right? I have friends that are like that. And, you know, I'm thankful for them. But Jesus is referring to people who actively intervene in situations to make peace. People who put others before themselves that go the extra mile to bring unity and peace to a situation. And this is something, let me tell you, that is less common in the world today, especially among Christians. Because let's be real, the gospel at times causes hostility. But we as his disciples are called to pursue peace with others. I know for me personally, I tend to not like conflict at all. And so there have been times in my life that I would walk the other direction or change the subject before pursuing peace. And for most, it's not a natural habit. In these days, the opposite seems to win the day. And let me just say this, you know, that's one thing I'm thankful for in our pastor, Pastor Jason, is that he's the guy that will have a conversation. I mean, let me be real. There's sometimes where I've seen where he's wanted to talk through something that I'm like, I don't even want to be in the room. Like, this is tough. This is a tough conversation to have, you know. But he goes into it because he knows that that's what the Lord wants. And so I know for me, just in the past year, I've grown a lot because of those types of situations happening and him encouraging me. And so I want to encourage you this morning, as it's something that it's not natural, right? It's not in our natural makeup, aka the flesh. Our normal first reaction would be to watch from the sidelines, hence Exhibit A. That's right. I just came here to read the comments. I know I've seen this a whole bunch, right? Poor Michael. And so Exhibit B is another one. Poor Kermit. They even got Kermit. Don't mind me. I'm just here for the comments. We see this all the time on social media, right? Where people, they love that drama, man. Some people, I think they have a spoon in their back pocket just for stirring it, right? But that's not what God wants us to be. And here's something that we need to remember. Just as the Lord is so merciful with us in our failings and shortcomings, we also should reflect that same mercy and seek reconciliation with our enemies. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, it says this. Paul wrote, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Peace should reign in the hearts of those who are his. That'd be a good place for an amen. Okay? Peace should reign in the hearts of those who are his. Amen? It should reign in our hearts. And so, as we dig in this morning, the first thing that we find is that as a peacemaker, there is blessing involved. So a peacemaker finds blessing. And to be clear, this should not be the main reason that you strive to be a peacemaker, but it's definitely a perk of the position, right? Think about all the wonderful things that come from peace, or better yet, the things that will go away. War, that's a big one. I mean, for those in this room, can you remember a time that there was not some sort of a conflict happening where the U.S. had to step in and be involved, right? World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the Cold War, the Cuban Missile Crisis, Desert Storm, Operation Iraqi Freedom, all these different things. The list goes on and on and on. And that's just some. And let me tell you, as a military parent, as a parent of an airman, and for those that I know that in this congregation have loved ones that are serving currently in the military, the last thing we want is war, amen? We want peace. We want our loved ones to not be getting on that battlefield. But sometimes it happens. Even more than war, think of all the things that would go away. Racism, bigotry, hatred, violence. Think of how different the world would be. Let's look at one of the scripture passages that talks about the blessing of being a peacemaker. Here's a blessing. So in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20, it says this. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. At the root of conflict is often an impure heart. And at the root of peace is a sincere desire to put others before oneself. Those who plan evil by deceit have no joy because of the risk and dangers involved in their plan. But the righteous who lead by peace have joy due to being right with the Lord. And we see right there in this verse that joy is a byproduct of peace. And I don't know about you this morning, but I love joy. I can't get enough of joy. Amen? I love joy. And with joy comes strength. Another result of peace is the disappearance of anxiety and stress. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine? It's truly wild to think about all the wonderful things that happen when there is peace. And so peacemakers find joy and blessing in bringing reconciliation with God and others while also building bridges. So a peacemaker builds bridges. Not ignites fires. They look for ways to pursue peace and find a way forward. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says this, "Pursue peace with everyone in holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord." It is vital that if we are going to be a peacemaker, we must take self out of the equation. And that's not easy at times, right? It's not easy to take self out of the equation. I think John MacArthur, he says it best here in this quote. "When self is first, peace is last." Let that ring in, okay? When self is first, peace is last. It starts with us truly letting God take a hold of our hearts and letting Him lead in and through us. But this is a problem today in the American church, unfortunately, as we see more division than ever. And unfortunately, it's not really a new problem. I'll never forget when I was in my early 20s. I was at my home church, and I was chosen by my home church to be a messenger at the annual meeting for that area's Baptist Association. And so I know there's some people in the room, maybe you're not familiar with this concept. Basically, it's a group or network of churches that come together and work together in reaching the area for Christ. And so we at Southgate, okay, we're a part of the Greene County Baptist Association under the guidance of our director of missions and board. So hopefully that kind of helps give you perspective on what I'm getting ready to tell you. So now let's go back to the early 2000s. I'm like 21 or 22 years old. And there's probably at this little church where we're having this meeting, 250 plus people in a room that barely holds 200. I mean, we are packed in there. And we go through the motions, you know, the things that happen at these meetings, you know. We sang a couple songs, had reports, voting, the usual stuff. But then the topic comes up that everyone was anticipating. You see, I was a young guy. I didn't really, you know, I didn't know what was going on or the things that were being brought up. I just knew that my home church had asked me to be a part of this. And so me and five others went to this meeting, and boy, it was an experience. And so the topic comes up that is why everybody's there. And when that topic came up, it went from being a church meeting to an episode of Jerry Springer in the blink of an eye. You can't imagine the fear and confusion that I experienced as a young man. And all I could think was, what is going on here? Like, these are supposed to be Christian brothers and sisters. Like, why are they yelling? Why are they screaming? And then I remember thinking, please God, I hope there's nobody that's lost in this room to see this. And this went on for what seemed like an eternity. And then they voted. And once the ballots were counted, and the verdict is announced, the room clears out like a rush, and maybe leaving 125 folks in attendance. I'll be honest with you, that night it scarred my heart. But it was also a teachable moment for a confused young man. You see, I could have walked away from that church that night and never looked back. It would have been easy, so easy. Why would I want to associate myself with that? But instead, I came away determined to see things through and work for peace, unity, and spiritual growth in that network of churches, along with a lot of the folks that were still there at the end of the meeting. And I'm happy to report that all of those things did happen, and it did get better in a short period of time. But here's something to remember, friends. The kingdom of God cannot be at war within itself. It cannot be at war within itself. You see, we have a job to do. Our job is to reach the lost for Christ. You know, the pastoral staff, it shouldn't be a big job for us to be constantly putting out fires over stuff that's really not a big deal. But we all need to be in this together. And so the kingdom of God cannot be at war within itself. With being a peacemaker, unity is a byproduct of the peace that comes. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. For me, when I think of unity, I think of strength, right? Together we stand, divided we fall. This rings true whether you're talking about a nation, an organization, but especially the church. And as such, we are to be continually working for true peace within the body of Christ and in the world. And thirdly, a peacemaker is beloved. A peacemaker is beloved. Now, to say this is an understatement for some and the opposite for others. And here's what I mean by that. For those that want peace and are willing to work through challenges, the peacemaker is an advocate and friend. Man, you're glad to see this individual. But for those that prefer power and won't budge in a situation, a peacemaker is enemy number one. As I spoke about earlier, depending on the situation, it can be very tough, a very tough venture. But we are called to it no matter the cost, because what's at stake? I know we have a lot of parents in the room. Oftentimes, parents, they fail as peacemakers, right? Cycling between yelling at their children and imploring them to just get along. What the parent wants in those situations is a quiet home, not peace sometimes, right? My wife and I, man, we've been guilty of this happening in our home in the past, as I'm sure many in this room have. And for me personally, I know that, unfortunately, many times instead of listening and trying to bring peace to the home, I would normally state, this is not a democracy. We will not be taking a vote. I'm in charge, period. Okay? And I'm sure many other ways to put it. You could ask Madison. She could probably fill you in. But that's not the attitude that Christ wants, right? That's not what he wants us to have in a situation needing peace and understanding. The peace Jesus is speaking of here is something much more profound. That peace comes from reconciliation, and this is a divine work. That is why those who are peacemakers will be children of God. In pursuing peace and seeking to foster peace in the kingdom and the world, they are reflecting a characteristic of their heavenly Father. For just as we have traits, right, of our physical and behavior, like as far as we, a lot of times, you know, I'll sound like my dad, or maybe I'll do something that's like my mom. But it should also be the same way when it comes to those of us that are believers in Christ. We should reflect the Father. Amen? We should reflect Him. And as we know, Jesus didn't just speak about it, but let me tell you something, He lived it. And I just want to give you a few examples of how Jesus lived it. Remember in John chapter 8, verses 2 through 11, about the adulteress that was forgiven. Remember that scene? He turns a stoning into a non-event. I mean, here we're talking, we had a large group, a mob of scribes and Pharisees that were ready to stone a woman to death. And Jesus completely extinguished the mob of men. Remember, he rode in the dirt a little bit. And then he asked the question, you know, you who have committed no sin can throw the first stone. And I can tell you today that there was not one stone thrown. Another time, another example of Jesus seeking peace. As we look at John chapter 18, verses 1 through 12, and it's where Jesus is betrayed in the garden. And so Judas betrays Jesus with a kiss, and the Romans are going to take him away. But here's the thing. He didn't fight the guards. He didn't scream that he was innocent. He didn't whip out a cell phone to Facebook Live the whole thing, right? But he went with the guards. But not before Peter cuts a guard's ear off, and Jesus picks it up off the ground, and he heals the guard on the spot. Peter's act could have given the Roman guards means to kill the whole group, but Jesus stopped it before it even had time to start. And lastly, I think the most significant example is when Jesus was on the cross. So in Luke chapter 23, verses 32 and 34, there he is hanging on the cross after being beaten, his beard plucked out, a crown of thorns jammed on his head. He says to the Lord, what is he hanging on that cross? Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. Even after all that torture, peace and forgiveness was on his mind. And so we too are called to be a reflection of Jesus and to love and seek peace with others, even when it's hard, even when it's not fair, even when we don't want to, because peacemakers find themselves loved by God as a son and daughter as we reflect the Son. So in closing today, I want to kind of give you a guide as far as, you know, it will help you cultivate your heart and if you are seeking to be a peacemaker. And so these four questions that I'm going to show you here in a moment, or they're already up there, as you can see on the screen, it's a practical next steps to pursue peace in your relationship. So question one, are you aiming for restoration or for vindication? That's a biggie. Are you looking to get something out of it? Or are you trying to get restoration to heal a relationship? That's a big one to ask yourself. Number two, are you being a comfort to others or a burden? Are you being a comfort to others or a burden? Number three, here's one that a lot of times takes a little more time, right? If you're not in agreement, why? Have you really thought through what caused the whole problem in the first place? And number four, would you characterize your life as one lived in peace? Are you a peaceful person? So these four questions can help you identify if you're being a peacemaker. So remember, at the root of conflict is often an impure heart, and at the root of peace is a sincere desire to put others before oneself. But remember the words of Jesus. An essential characteristic of a kingdom maker is they that seek peace. Are you seeking peace this morning? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you right now, God, I thank you for this day. And Father, I thank you for being the ultimate example for us, God. And Father, I pray for each person in this room, those at home, God, for our country. God, that we would seek peace. Father, that we would seek to mend relationships, Father. Lord, I pray for those in this room maybe that are lost right now, God. Maybe that a lot of this stuff doesn't make sense to them. God, I pray that today would be the day. Today would be the day that they would say yes to you and give it all to you. And God, I pray for those that maybe in this room are going through a hard time. God, to where they feel like there's no hope. God, to where maybe they're seeking peace, but it just isn't happening, Father. I pray that you would give them strength, that you would comfort them, God, and God, that you would just help them to persevere in this. So, Lord, we love you, and Father, we thank you for all your many blessings. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so before we sing this morning, I just want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus today, that today would be the day. We have certain staff members on the front rows here. We would love to pray with you, love to speak with you about that. For maybe those in this room that you're going through a tough time, I encourage you to give it to God. Give it to God this morning.